And for the first time in a long time, we have Michael and Fionnuala back together. Fionnuala Rabbit, good morning to you. How are you getting on?
I'm with Michael. I'm very excited.
And Michael Rabbit, who's currently the subject of a €33 transfer battle. Michael Leddy, €33 transfer battle with Niall Delaney's Northwest today on Ocean FM. It's going to be a bitter dogfight.
I'm holding out for 34. I'm holding because I'm worth it.
You Michael Rabbit.
I'm worth it. I am easily worth it.
Such is the competitive nature of
our 33.50 at the very least. I'm worth that. At least.
Okay, folks. What are you watching? What are you doing? It doesn't have to be on the television. It doesn't have to be in the cinema. It can be on stage. We had that comedy show on Greenland last night. Did you enjoy it? What are you doing for the weekend? Let us know, because it's that time of the day where, after what often is, a week of quite heavy content, we just switch off for the last hour and ease our way into the weekend. How has your week been, Fionnuala?
My week has been lovely now, except for the fact that where did all the cold weather suddenly come from? I know I'm always complaining about how cold it is here in Donegal, but oh, Bajini, this week really turned
out. Well, they're hardly sunning their dids off down in Galway, are they?
No, oh God, no. And in fairness, even I know people who are in Spain and Portugal, and the weather's not.
That's because you spent most of the year with them.
I wish.
But other than that, all has been well. We had some amazing coverage of the elections and everything last week.
Fantastic.
And I'm very happy to say that the person that I said was the prettiest in my head, I know we didn't say it on air, he did quite well. I was like, there you go.
Are we going to mention him?
You mean Greg? Greg did very well. He is very pretty.
Last week we were talking about how
posters.
Where Greg let down the listeners in all of his election coverage.
Some people think he looks a bit like Jamie, what's his face?
Dorn.
Yeah. Oh. If you squint your eyes.
I totally can see that.
If you squint your eyes.
But I have to say, there you go.
Who do you think they're talking about? 0860 25.
It is a pretty contest, you see. It's like of course it is.
Some posters were pretty old. Which is great for the environment.
Oh yeah, no, it's good that they're reusing stuff and that kind of thing. But anyways,
Should there be an eight-year limit on it though?
It's like your dating profile.
Must be
within the last 10 years.
Within the last 10 years and with no filters. Yeah, no, okay. Who's Fionnuala on about? 0860 25000. How was your week, Michael?
It was good. I thoroughly enjoyed the coverage at the weekend. I genuinely
did. Listen?
I listened and I watched as well.
Did you watch it?
Yes. I listened away and I was taking notes and stuff. I was getting quite nerdy about the whole thing because I enjoyed the debates as well. I really did. I thought they were excellent. The two Letterkenny ones were obviously
relevant to you.
Relevant to me.
So 16 debates and I think 30
that
hours.
That was horrendous from the point of view of workload. Like,
no, that's fine.
It's fine. Yeah, okay. Fine. But it was. So yeah, a weekend was devoted to that, and then the week has been, like Fionnuala said, I've been wandering around taking pictures like a random umbrella.
What?
Lying open on the street as I walked to work yesterday. And I looked around, there was nobody north, west, south or east.
Was it inside out even?
No, it was just an umbrella that was abandoned.
It's been a quiet week for you then, so. You took a picture of it and posted it on your social media?
I didn't put it on social, no. I just took it as a memento.
Saving it for Friday night when the big crowds are around.
And something I want to look back on. I want to look back on the early part of June.
You know,
when you do your best of the year?
Yeah, but in about 5 years' time, a memory from Google's going to pop up and it's going to be an umbrella.
Like,
and
you're
going, well, what's going on here?
So, yeah, that was my week.
Yeah, no, the viewing figures were excellent.
Yes.
Obviously, I mean, you know, we're a radio station and what have you, but 5,000.
Saw that, yeah.
5,500 was the peak. But the average was 3,000 over the weekend, which was great. Great feedback on it too.
Yeah,
but anyway, that's
well
history. That's
history
until October. Did you both go to the cinema together or separately? I see Kingdom of the Planet of Apes is on in the cinema.
Yes, I want to see that.
Where is this in relationship to Planets of the Apes previously?
This is the start of a new trilogy. So basically, for anyone who's a fan of those movies, they did three movies in the last 10 years. And the main character was Caesar. So we saw Caesar's arc, and this now picks up the story about 300 years later.
Oh.
So it's a fresh start in the franchise. And for those who are longtime fans of this franchise, these newer movies fit into the timeline and do not contradict the earlier timeline. So it's not a reboot or anything like that. Like, unlike the Tim Burton movie from 2001, which was a reboot and wasn't embraced by anybody, really. Nobody liked that. So the new movie starts a new story with a character called Noah. And I went along to see this a couple of weeks back. It's still in the cinema, and it's the number 4 movie of the year at the global box office, so it's doing very well. Because a lot of movies have underperformed this year. So this is one of the exceptions. This is one of the movies together with...
And why have it as apes, right? Because they seem to just be trotting about life as humans.
Yes, basically, so, yeah. They are,
so these are... apes developed into humans, is
yes,
that it?
Yes, basically.
And we...
They're in ascendancy, and we are now kind of at this point in the future, in this future timeline, we have become savages. So humans are savages running in packs in the wild. Basically.
As opposed to in real life where we're not savages.
yeah, it's a good line to draw there. So Noah's part of a tribe, and they are chimpanzees, and their thing is they're known as the chimpanzees of the eagle. This is the thing. And his father is like a master of taming and training eagles, and Noah has to... hopefully be good enough at some day. So it's a fairly standard trope, like, will he be good enough to fill his father's shoes? But early on in this movie, while Noah is away at night on a very important errand, enemies descend on the camp, and when he returns, everybody's gone, and they have been taken to a far off land under a different king. And it's like, so the story is the story of his quest. It's a journey. So it's a standard kind of trope which you've seen before. It's like a Western, really, in some ways.
What's the human's role in it?
The woman he meets along the way, at this stage, humans are expected to be mute. But if you've seen the trailer, minor spoiler here, it turns out she is not what she appears to be. But they team up, and it turns out she has information with regard to who and where his tribe is and to get them back. So it's a quest. There's also an orangutan who joins them as well on the mission. Plenty of action. And the great thing about these movies are they're smart. They're very smart movies. The same husband and wife. Has Fionnuala seen them?
No. You just used the sentence, and an orangutan joins them on the mission. Yeah, but the great things about these movies is they're very smart.
They are very smart. They're very political, and they have some observations to make. The original movie...
Drawing any parallels about how humans get on in 2024?
Nothing very obvious.
Great.
Nothing very obvious. Nothing very obvious, no. But the franchise started in 1968 when Rod Serling of The Twilight Zone was responsible for the adaptation. And they're definitely smart movies down through the 70s and down through these newer ones. This is a really excellent movie. Like, it's really excellent. Noah is a great new protagonist. We get a good, solid, politically driven adventure. And then it sets the final... 5-10 minutes have some jaw-dropping revelations, and I cannot wait for the next movie.
Right, that's good. That's the way to do it. If it's in the last 5 minutes, that's excellent.
Yeah, and it's got 80%, I think, on...
Yeah,
80%
of
Rotten Tomatoes. Critics have embraced it. Audiences have
embraced
it.
Why are people not going to see these big films? Now, we're not talking locally or
nationally.
Yeah,
no, we're not talking locally.
We're talking globally.
Yeah, globally, things like The Fall Guy, and a big surprise was the Mad Max Furiosa.
The Fall Guy's a TV film, though, really.
Yeah, well...
Isn't it? Like, I thought it was entertaining, but...
It's great fun. I thought it was great fun, too, but I thought it was like a very summery, blockbustery thing.
Really?
The big surprise was the Mad Max one, but then... As a lot of critics have said, it's a prequel, and it's trying to turn the Mad Max movies into a universe Mad Max.
See, what people I don't think they understand is that we just want to go and watch a film, come up with new ideas. Do you know this prequel? Mm. It's 300 years on. It's part one of 3.
Do we need it?
It's in a different timeline. It's just, you know, people just want to, like, it excludes me from sort of picking up in the middle of something. And I've been saying this for a long time now. I just wonder if that's a disadvantage. You know, come up with some new ideas. Or
that's what would put me off the Mad Max. What made me not go to see Furiosa, and I liked the original Mad Max, but then they tried to do it again.
Which was all right.
It just didn't land to me compared to, I mean, Tina Turner.
Although
awesome.
The ones that are
so
hits,
awesome in the original.
And I take that on board what you said, but actually the ones that are hits are all sequels and prequels and whatnot. There's the King Kong Godzilla one,
yes,
is number 2.
I just feel that I get you, and there was a period where that was fine, but now we're raking over old coals over and over again.
Yeah,
now,
maybe.
And then rebooting, restart, and parallel this. Personally, I just think... you know,
enough is
anyone
enough,
I speak to, it's just like, what? You know,
I think it's one of the, they seem to, everything goes to what we say long ago, video so much faster.
Yeah.
I.e., a land on streaming.
Yeah. Fall Guy was on streaming like about 2-3 weeks after it.
Like, if you go on to, particularly via Apple, your Apple app, you know what I mean? It gives you access to Challengers. It gives you Dune 2.
Yeah.
It gives you access to The Fall Guy. It give, like, there was a time, now, to be honest, I've looked into just to see, but the majority of them are actually more expensive to rent or buy
to
your television than it would be to have a night out in the cinema, and even in some cases get a bucket of popcorn, you know what I mean, as well as in your whole night out. So people should definitely think about that. But I think that's probably it. We're losing a bit of the nostalgia experience of seeing a big screen with the surround. Like, I mean, if you're interested in watching something like Planet of the Apes, you should watch it on a big screen.
Yeah, a lot of people at home have a 65-inch telly and a surround sound system as well.
Yeah, big screens.
But listen, I think there's always...
I love the cinema too.
Of course, there's always going to be people go to the cinema and then there's people not. I just... The industry needs to make sure that it doesn't get lazy.
Oh, yeah.
I think, because... right, we're going to take a quick break. Went to the comedy show in on Green on last night. Two really funny comedians. Great show. That comes in from Anne. We spoke to... I can't remember her name. Anna Harvey, is it? Enya Martin, I was close. Enya Martin, and she was supported by a comedian from Cork. Both were supposed to be quite funny and took a hand out of Letterkenny and Donegal quite a bit. Hi all, looking forward to the second season of the epic House of the Dragon. Can't beat some sword scandal and big dragons. Come work here. Rewatching the first season last week in anticipation. And popcorn at the ready tonight. Has Fionnuala binged watched it? Well, we'll find out after we take this short break. Now, I want to mention, coming up on Monday the 17th of June at 7 p.m, there is a Women Warriors Walk and Talk. It's a bereavement group, and it is the Rossy Longan Forest Walk with refreshments afterwards at the Mustard Seed. I have a couple of contact numbers if you want some more information about that. But if you are, particularly in this case, a woman dealing with loss of a partner or a child or a parent, we heard earlier on how important, from Letitia, how important it is to talk to other people who understand what you're going, what you might be going through. The last time they had this event, an awful lot of people turned up to talk about their grief journey and to help others as well. So that's the Women's Warriors Walk and Talk Bereavement Group. They're having a walk in Rossy Longan Forest Park with refreshments afterwards at the Mustard Seed, Monday 7th of June, 7 p.m. If you're going through that and maybe you think it's not for you, well, why not give it a try? I know some of the people involved in this, and they're all at different journeys in their in their bereavement, and I hope that you could get along and it might be of benefit to you. If you want more details on that, please contact me, or sorry, contact the radio station, or me for that matter. You can contact me on my socials if you wish, and I'll pass the relevant information on. There's a couple of women there that, even if you want to talk in advance to find out if it's okay for you or it's a good thing for you, and I'm sure they will reassure you one way or other. Right, okay, so Bridgerton, part two. It's already out. Obviously, a listener is waiting then to start watching it this evening, but it must be available already if they're asking if you binged it, Fionnuala Rabbit.
Yesterday, and it didn't come out until late yesterday.
Ah, so really, you haven't had a chance yet.
I've only watched it. So the first four
episodes.
Yeah. So the first four episodes were out in May, and now this is the final four that are out. So I've only watched the first one, which is number five. So I've watched episode five, and don't watch it with your granny. And I wrongly was going to bed last night, and I said, oh, do you know what I'll do now? Is I'll watch one episode of Bridgerton. Err in judgment, as I keep saying to everybody. I do not know the girl, but she did grow up. And as I was saying, my son-in-law's claim to fame is that he was on stage with her in the school play in fifth year. Nicola Coughlan, who is the star of this year's Bridgerton, and who is absolutely everywhere. So I think every man, woman, child, dog, cat, mouse knows who she is at this point. Fair play to her. Is the star
she's
of this.
She's from Derry Girls, is she? No?
She is, yeah.
Oh, right,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah. She's from Derry Girls, yeah. And she does a brilliant job in this now, in fairness to her, because she was in Derry Girls, and cards on the table. If somebody was to put money on who was going to come out of Derry Girls as being one of the top people, she would not have been it.
Yeah.
Not through any necessarily bad portrayal, but the character that she portrayed was kind of a little bit over dramatic,
so far removed.
You know, she kind of got hysterical easily, and you were just kind of like going, okay, you know what I mean? As in, it was within the context of the show, but it didn't necessarily show her acting chops. Whereas in this, now she's gone from this to Bridgerton. This year, Bridgerton is focusing on her story. Anybody that knows anything about Bridgerton knows that there's 9 books, and they're focusing on each one of the books is about, it's about the Bridgerton family, and there's a...
So this is season 3, isn't that correct?
This is
the third of 9 books?
This is actually the fourth, but they've skipped the third one.
I get you.
So they're kind of blending that, some of them in a bit together.
Yeah.
But there is 9 books in total, and there's 8 Bridgerton children and the mother, and it's all just about their lives. And really, it's just about their love lives and meeting partners. And this is what they've done with it. They've made the Bridgerton series. So this is, she's all about it. Nicola's in this. She's also in Big Mood, which is on Channel 4, that other people might like to see her. And she is turned out to be an amazing actress.
What is the attraction of Bridgerton, do you think?
It's very nice.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? And that's
everyone's
really
so handsome.
Everything in it is so lovely, and it's beautiful, and it's got that whole Regency thing, even though it steps completely outside of the Regency now, because I'm a big fan of Pride and Prejudice and all that kind of thing. And there's a lot of hand holding, and there's a lot of public kissing, which definitely not be happening in it. And there's a lot of, as they would say, anticipating their marriage going on in it, which is also definitely wouldn't be happening back in Regency. But there's just something very beautiful about it. And in fairness, the books are very well written in that for the genre
that
they
are.
Yeah, of course.
Of course you have. Yeah.
Twice. I had read the books even before I started off. But it's very beautiful. The clothes is beautiful. You know what I mean? Everybody in it is beautiful. In fairness to Nicola, episode 5 is kind of the big one that everybody's talking about, because each of the Bridgerton series, as we've said in the past, you're tipping along watching it nicely with your mother, and then all of a sudden it's like nobody in the house is looking each other in the eye for at least a week. And this is what happens in this as well. But Nicola is not what would be considered a typical leading lady.
Yeah.
In the sense that, and again, she's all over social media and everywhere, so everybody has seen her and met her. She's a beautiful girl, but she wouldn't be a typical kind of body shape, body type, the whole thing. She's very quick to discuss that as well. In this, she took some very kind of big steps, you know what I mean, that you wouldn't have assumed that that they would have done with it. You know what I mean? Normally when you see actresses with tops off and tops down, you know what I mean? They're delicately covered, and they're, you know, they fit the typical look that we think of when you think of kind of a model sort of a look, tall and slender and thin. And Nicola is, you know, very petite, and
she shapes like a lot of women, really.
100%.
It's more reflective 100%.
And in it, you know what I mean? That's true, you know. And so there's a lot of that there. And she was very brave in it. You know what I mean? A lot of people wouldn't like to be putting their body on display for others to be commenting on, as I'm now doing now. Apologies to them. But I just think, look, there's something very nice about it. There's something very beautiful. Don't watch episode 5. With your granny.
Can I just say some grannies out there could teach you a thing or two?
Yeah, I know, but I
think you're on about your granny.
Yeah.
They'll be straight to episode 5 now.
No, yeah. It's not that I'm a granny myself. It's not that now I'm a granny myself. It's not that I don't think. It's just you don't want to be watching it
and then not realise what's coming.
And then sort of be looking around you and kind of go, like, when they do a love scene on Bridgerton, it's not like, if you have a love scene in these type of books, normally it's like, you know, oh, the heaving bosoms and they lean into each other and then turn the page. This is not that situation. This is a good, you know, 6-7 minutes of a scene in which you're kind of like, oh, dear God. You know, as we used to say down home, I don't mind kissing, but I hate that. So be careful, who you're watching it with this one. Don't be caught unawares. But it's a beautiful story. There's a lot of kind of twists and turns in this particular story.
So does this wrap up now and then it moves on to the next book, presumably for the next series?
Yeah, the way they've sort of done it is they kind of sow seeds for the book. So it looks like they're going to be skipping one or two of them and kind of blending a few bits together. Yeah. Now, in fairness, it'll probably never go on for 8 books. That would be 8 years of it.
But you're saying they kind of might skip 5 and 6 and maybe blend 7 and 8.
They're allowed that latitude on it. Yeah, you could, like, within this now, what they have is each of the This is about Colin Bridgerton and his love now of Penelope Featherton. And this one is about, so each of the Bridgerton children are they're named alphabetically. And of course. It goes all the way down. And so what they've done then, so it should be Benedict, but they've skipped Benedict.
His little story about orangutan joining the ranks is starting to sound less strange now.
You should just watch it.
No.
Did nobody in your house watch it?
No.
No, too many men in your house. That's what's wrong. Poor Ashley. You totally. No, it's really lovely.
Well, if Greg is not going to watch, I should. Yeah, this is what you should watch then, because last Saturday's Doctor Who was a Bridgerton episode and they kept referencing it. Greg, you could kill two birds with one stone. Doctor Who and Bridgerton together. No. You'd love it.
No, I don't want to see a TARDIS. I don't want to see a Dalek.
Things now that's kind of becoming in the zeitgeist. Do you know that sort of way? Like, it's just one of those things that everybody kind of knows what it is, even if nobody's really seen it. People know what it is. People know what it's about. That kind of. And in fairness to Shonda Rhimes, like, she when she does put her hand on something, it
she
does
knows
last.
What she's doing. Yeah.
Okay.
It does last. Like,
Grey's Anatomy is in season 20 now, is it?
Well, let's talk about
22?
Like 22. Let's talk about that after a break. Mm. Songs of Solidarity is taking place in the round, or Songs of Solidarity in the Round is taking place in the Plaza Buncrana tonight. Artists include Rosie McGrory, Tom Byrne, Paul Casey, Bernie Doherty, Lawrence Doherty, Don't Fear the Natives. It starts at 8, tickets €10, and it's a fundraiser to fund a food drop in Gaza. That's tonight, Friday, the 14th. I was just going through my emails during the break there, and I stumbled across an amazing email hack. Do you want to know? Have you used any hacks? I've got a hack. It's in Google, right? Searched, because my email is just absolutely bombarded with stuff, so I put unsubscribe in the search box, and literally all of the emails that I apparently subscribe to come down in one list, and I was able to unsubscribe 10 of them.
That's really good.
Isn't it good like that?
Yes, that's really good. Because I've been doing a lot of unsubscribing as well.
Well, don't
do it
one
by one.
No,
I have been, yeah.
Go into Gmail, put in unsubscribe, and not only...
Yeah.
And not only does it bring up it brings up all of the emails that have
that
unsubscribe
option,
at the bottom.
Option, yeah.
And unsubscribed actually is highlighted in the email.
Even so, easier. You don't have to search there for it. Because sometimes it's at the top, sometimes
it's
at the bottom.
It's a life hack for you, bro.
That is a good one. That's okay. A good life hack.
Any life hacks? 0866 to 25,000. I'm here for them. The Night Agent is on Netflix.
Yes.
Is this the second
first season?
Series?
No, the first season. Second season is coming up very soon. So I decided to get on board with this.
Are you unsubscribing, Fionnuala?
She is. I'm looking to see, yeah.
She is. She's doing it.
I'm telling you.
You realise that everybody's doing that now.
I know.
Now.
Everyone's I'm sorry doing that now. I've lost all interest in everything.
Yeah,
except how to unsubscribe, because apparently I've got things going back to 2021, so need to.
Oh, yeah. I have a ton of stuff as well. I've been unsubscribing
so
as well.
So you unsubscribe a whole go with them, right? But then what happens is it does require a little bit of time commitment, because you get multiples from the same.
Yeah.
You know that TV you bought in Curry's in 1985, and you're still not Curry's, but what's I know that? Dixon's.
Yes.
You know, Curry's is grand. I like them ones, but Dixon's. Does Dixon's still exist? I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah, but they do. They're constantly. Like, I once tried to buy a comic book or a trade paperback from a group from a thing in San Diego. They never even got it, but I was on their mailing list for like years afterwards, like emails, and I was like, I finally got rid of them and just unsubscribed, because oh, it's them again that I never bought from.
Right, The Night Agent.
Night Agent, yeah. This is Sean Ryan is the guy behind this show. Sean Ryan is one of my favourite producer-writers. He started on Angel back in the day, and then his big hit, one of his big hits was The Shield with Michael Chiklis, an absolutely superb, very adult police drama with a morally ambiguous, morally corrupt lead character, very much following in the reign of 24 and The Sopranos and all those kind of shows. And he's had other hits. His other big show at the moment is SWAT, which I've never gotten in on. Fionnuala says it's not as good as I thought it might be. So The Night Agent is based on a series of books, and it's a thriller very much in the same vein as 24. I presume you've seen this.
You know, I'm watching the trailer here, and I did see it, but I can't remember anything about it.
Yeah. So basically it starts off, it's this guy who is a young FBI agent working in the basement of the White House. And the premise at the start, the hook is very good. It's this idea that he is a special agent who monitors a phone that never rings. So that's his job. He has to go in every night through the night hours till 8 in the morning. No, from 8 in the evening till 4 in the morning. His 8-hour shift, and he monitors the phone. And then one night, dun dun dun, the phone rings.
Is it a misnomer?
It's somebody in trouble.
Is it someone from Amazon offering to sell shares?
So basically, he gets then embroiled. There's a woman in danger, her aunt and uncle.
Are you still on
She is subscribing, yeah. Okay, and yeah. I have to say, this is something that I referenced. I was watching, I watched the 10 episodes over 10 days last week and this week. Mm. So she, this woman has learned that her aunt and uncle are spies and they were on a
That's right, I remember that now, yeah.
Yes. But their cover story was that they were always going away on cruises.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard this and
Do
I...
Do you think Donald Kavanagh's
Donald
a spy?
Kavanagh. Donald Kavanagh, exactly.
It actually makes a lot of sense.
It does make a lot of sense.
It's actually the pieces are starting it's to come together.
I love cruises. Cruises are great. Look at all these pictures. But do you ever notice they're just kind of generic-y pictures? He could be added. He could be photo. Yeah, could be photoshopped in.
Yeah.
Because that's what same happened to this woman.
Same shirt he's in all of them.
She, and he's always got that same cocktail. It's always the same one. It seems obvious. So I'm watching this and I was like, hold on a second. So she finds out their aunt and uncle are spies. Bad stuff happens and the next minute she's on the run for her life. And she has some evidence, or not evidence, but she's been told that something is wrong in the White House.
This goes all the way to the top.
Top. This goes all the way to the top. So it's him and her, and they're on the run. Very 24-esque. Very much action-packed thriller. And the episodes, they're like, it's like a few hours in the next episode. So it's, the action takes place over the course of a week, over the 10 episodes. And that's really all that I need to say about it. I'm not going to give too
when
much
away. When does the series 2?
Series 2 is supposed to be out this summer. I don't have a date on it yet. Okay. But it's a series of books. So again, like Bridgerton. And the villains in this series are alphabetically named. So Algernon Algernon was the villain in this story. But Bertie will be the villain this next.
But presumably this is going to be like Designated Survivor. The actual hook stroke premise becomes irrelevant.
It does.
Then,
it does. 100%. Yeah, exactly. It's really becomes a very straightforward. It's like Jack Ryan.
Yeah.
He's like an action hero, espionage guy. But the action scenes were good. The cast were good. D.B. Woodside, who was in 24 and was also in Angel Buffy as well back in the day, is in it.
He's the lead, is he?
The FBI guy, the black guy, the shaved head guy, that guy. He was really good. No, the lead is a younger guy who I looked him up. He was in. I did look this up and I can't remember.
It's
he
fine.
Was. Yeah, it's okay.
What would you give it out of 10?
Oh, good,
it's
solid
not like
9.
You, it's not
I
like
love
you to watch a show on consecutive days. Like
I want to watch more. There's another one, The Recruit, which I want to watch next. And I want to watch Jack Ryan. I want to watch some action-y things for a while.
I know what you mean.
So I really wanted to see this and I really enjoyed it. And I'm going to dive into maybe Jack Ryan next week. Because I want some action. I want some thrillers.
Yeah, I think I still have the third season of Jack Ryan to watch.
Third's not great.
That's why I haven't watched it.
Yeah, but you might. You see, you might love it.
I just don't think he's a very leady character in it, to be honest with you. On Sky Documentaries, The Truth versus Alex Jones, documentary about the Sandy Hook family's court case. This is, he was on there last week saying he's about to go bankrupt. He was crying, begging for people to fund him, to keep the InfoWars going.
People will.
It's unbelievable.
And I think that's why I think that because I actually knew this story myself just from reading and watching different things over the last few years, because this has been an ongoing story over the last few years.
He's despicable.
But I do think that people need to watch it just to keep themselves particularly informed. He is a character in which people seem to take what he says. And there is a difference between being a journalist and flogging stuff. And we have to start thinking to ourselves, there's a difference. Mm. There's a difference between trying to create clickbait because you are trying to sell stuff on another end. And, you know, even for some people to actually believe in stuff that I don't believe in, if as long as I feel that they genuinely believe the stuff that they're saying, you have to at least give them the right to say some of the stuff they say. Mm-hmm. This particular individual appears to me anyways to just do stuff for the financial bottom line, which is a completely abhorrent thing to do. And this is one particular incident.
He's unashamed of doing that. Things don't have to be the truth.
For anybody that doesn't know him, which I'd say there's probably very few out there, but there may be, Alex Jones runs a online, what he would consider a news show, in which he, you know, talks about the topics and according to himself, you know, what the people really care about. And it's obviously an American show, what the people care about, what the whole thing. But what people need to realise is that throughout his, whereas over here you may be seeing clips of things that he said and you might agree or disagree with things he said, what you need to remember is that he is just trying to get people to click in, listen to his show, because then he is selling themselves.
But that being said, a lot of his supporters will just see this as a leftism hit job, the woke mind virus
in full effect.
To be honest, in this,
I think it's a little bit different, because I can understand if somebody did a documentary in which it was, again, we'll say a particular journalist sitting down and talking to people who were telling you, oh, Alec Jones is terrible, Alec Jones is this, that, the other. That's not what this is. This is a conversation. One of the things that Alec Jones has done and which has been in the papers lately is back in the day, many years ago now, it must be about 10 or 15 years ago, there was a terrible tragedy in the United States in which the gunmen went into a preschool and sadly took the lives of many children and one of the teachers. And after that, Alec Jones went on to his InfoWars thing and told people that this was a false flag, that he had been predicting that this was going to happen, that
crisis actors were involved.
That crisis actors were involved, that nobody died, nobody did anything, and that it was just a reason for the left to try and take guns away from
decent, ordinary, decent, God-fearing Americans. Yeah.
Now, none of that actually came to be, as in the taking away of guns, because as we all know, sadly, since Sandy Hook, there have been numerous shootings in America. But what happened and what is unbelievable about it is that people genuinely believed what he was saying.
And still do.
25%, 24% in the last estimate of testing that was done don't believe that Sandy Hook was a real thing and still think that the parents of these children were crisis actors.
But the thing too, before you go on, what upsets me, but what I wish wouldn't happen is that the language then is repurposed in every country in the world. Okay, so the crisis actors, the false flags, it is used as a grift. Okay, so people will say that, and then they'll have, you know, a channel to which you could fund. And there are real, what I would have thought were real critical thinkers, people that think for themselves and encourage everyone else to think for themselves, that take it as a fact with no critical analysis or thinking of it, to not see that, right, someone over there said false flag crisis actors, and then it's said about everything that happens in all other countries. There's people doing it in English, in French, in German, in Spain, in Portugal, the same model, the same language being said about things close to them.
Yes, absolutely.
And it's all one means to an end. Now, you could say on the other side of it, you know, state-controlled, they're doing the same thing with a different message, but I'm not getting into that. But what I don't understand is just really, you know, intelligent people, critical thinking, pause that and then believe this as if it's an absolute fact because it fits into their sort of frustrations with life and
government. Yeah, confirmation bias. It's like, this is what I think is probably happening. I hear someone saying it.
I think that's, well, with
but
this,
do you
this
not see the pattern? Do you not see the...
Oh God, 100%, this is the whole thing across.
I mean, this is just happening. The exact same language is being used.
Do you remember even the time
Ireland
that the... my apologies, I can't remember the name, but there was the paper in Paris where the shooter went in, Charlie...
Because of the cartoon.
And somebody went in, and again, it was the same kind of language that was used in France. They were saying, oh no, that's not, it didn't really happen. And it's all, and it is something that has now become, I mean, the fact that we all know what false flag means, you know what I mean, in this context, is all coming from this type of thing. In this particular instance, though, I think it was just particularly...
it was apparent.
Disgraceful. It's just terrible, because what happened then is that the
rules,
the people,
there should be no, when we're talking about the mass murder of children, there has to be some.
Well, because what happened then is that the parents of these children were then bombarded,
hassled,
and they received death threats. They just like were constantly being hassled everywhere they would go. The funerals were you know, were infiltrated by people that were protesting, that it wasn't real, that that wasn't really their baby, that was like lying. And I mean, these were preschoolers now. So these children weren't, I mean, not that any child, but I'm saying these were children under the age of six. Like, it was, you know, a particularly abhorrent thing. Anyways, in this particular instance, and why I think that a lot of people should watch this documentary, is because it does feel that I think people it'll open some people's eyes to the reality of this particular individual. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Because it's not like yourself as, you know what I mean, a respected journalist going on and saying here and here is where I think this man shouldn't have said that and he should have covered it like this. What this talks about is it talks to the families, and it's all about the court case. So the families eventually took Alec Jones to court, mm. and through a whole series of process, through a trial by jury, everything, you know, in a legitimate, judicial system, he was found guilty of, libeling all of these families, and the amount of money that he is supposed to be paying is $1.5 billion. Mm-hmm. So let's, you know, if anything, that has to prove that this, you know, is what he did was completely wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's grafting to try and get everybody else to pay the $1.5 billion.
And I
think over here we said to hear about him more from clips of things that he says rather than seeing him in the whole context.
I've watched quite a few of his shows, but I get you. But there's this is happening all the time, and it's just that people... I just hope people don't see themselves, you know, allow themselves to be exploited. They see, there's a blonde lady this week, a very attractive young woman from America, who on one of her programs, one of her TikToks or something, used the N-word, right? And since then, she's gone down all the wokeism, is crazy, using, you know, calling people faggots and all this kind of stuff, the most, you know, offensive language. Mm. And is unadulterated in that, thank the black community for their outrage, because it's elevated her to the position of a conservative TV star.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? Like, she's actually, and it's unashamed.
I know, it looks like she purposely.
But she did. She says she did.
Yeah,
she went from some ordinary job to now being the new darling of this conservative media. But she has told people that that's what she's done, and yet still people are saying, you're the voice we needed, you're a hero, we need more people like you. But the world's so divided, that's, I don't know how.
Yeah.
We're always going to disagree, and I, you know what I mean, I even listen to a lot of stuff which I would consider to be the media that I feel, I mean, I would listen to CNN, I would listen to watch some Fox, watch some MSNBC, all of them have a position. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Life is all about positions. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, even some of the times I watch some of the stuff that they're doing about the Republican Party or, about Trump, and you're like, for the love of God, that's hardly worth having a conversation. If I hear one more time that he found his daughter attractive, like, that's ridiculous. That's not it's taking stuff out of context, and it feeds this idea that people are being persecuted and people have sides. So everything has sides, but I think you need to be, you know, people have rights to say things that you don't agree with, but I think you need to think about who it is that you're agreeing with. But why are they saying it?
But I saw it happen. I used to watch the O'Reilly Factor.
Yeah,
I used to love it. And then when the clocks when the clocks would change, it went from starting at 12 to 1 a.m., right? And it was like, oh, bum, when do our clocks change?
Yeah.
But I could see it become, I mean, obviously it was conservative-leaning right? But it was also balanced.
Mm.
And then it all just went to pot. And
everything
now
changed,
you've got one network in America that's taking clips of Joe Biden and saying why he's not fit for office, not referencing Trump. And then you've got another network saying Trump's fit for office, showing clips and not referencing Biden. And then you've got a nation split down the middle 50-50, and it's starting to happen everywhere.
Yep. Yeah, it is. It's, as you say, it's infiltrating the rest of the world.
Exactly. Yeah. But it's a handbook, and we can be different in that we can be critical thinking, we can call stuff to account.
Yes, absolutely.
We can hold truth to power, right?
Yeah.
But we don't have to go down a rabbit hole of either liberalism or conservatism or left or right.
And we don't all have to agree. We just have to admit, there's reason. People can have different opinions. But I think, with the likes of this Alex Jones, if somebody has given you an opinion, or that lady you spoke about, in order to achieve greatness or financial benefit to themselves, Think about it.
With Alec Jones as well, I mean, a lie is a lie. I mean, when he's like, you can tell, like, if he's saying something, his crisis actors.
Oh,
you know,
there was stuff in the water that was making frogs gay. I'm like, I don't know how he says some of the stuff he says with a straight face.
It's crazy.
What?
I haven't listened to him. But it's crazy.
He has what can counteract it. Then that's what I love.
Oh, you have to buy
There's something in the water that makes frogs gay, but take this supplement.
Why is he concerned and with gay frogs?
I have no idea. I'm not 100% sure. Impacting his day-to-day life.
I won that bombshell.
Or anybody's.
Kevin's messaged in, but don't get defensive now, Fionnuala, okay? Hi, Greg and Co. On Who's Giving It Welly? On What's on the Telly? Thank you very much indeed. All right, that could be the catchphrase. Just to add that not all grannies are created equally. As my granny watched Bridgerton, must have gave her inspiration and going out on a date, playing it safe, probably a game of bingo or bridge until they got a full house and literally have a full house party. You're only young once. Doctor Who next? Who knows? Kevin from Dunlow. Thank you, Kevin. As always, a regular contributor to this item.
Yes.
And we look forward to those giving it away with What's on the Telly. If in the cinema we have... should we just waffle? Because we only got two minutes.
Yeah, we can waffle.
Oh, yeah. Well, Inside Out is on this weekend if anybody's going. Oh, you know, it's that cartoon that was on about, you know, the emotions. Did you not go with your boys when it was on the first
one? No, we don't talk about emotions.
We should totally go.
It was a Pixar movie.
That's a normal thing to do.
That's what people do. You just bottle them up, don't you?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Eat your feelings.
I'm all about eating your feelings.
I'm okay. Wait for the inevitable explosion.
I'm okay. Wait for death.
The stuff about the frogs was that it caused hermaphroditic features and independent research studies effects and agreed that the substance to treat the water was in fact impacting hormone levels in frogs. Then the assumption was that it could also be affecting humans. Of course, the creator of the water treatment substance carried out their own research to dismiss other research and continue to sell their product. So the idea is that I think that the gay frogs, we might have all turned gay because of what was the water.
Pink kryptonite.
Yes, indeed.
This is what apparently does.
If you guys want a good show to watch, find Under the Bridge. It's based on a true story about the murder of a 14-year-old Canadian girl. Indian parents is brilliantly acted and absolutely tragic.
Yeah, I read about that. But that's probably heavy going, is it? I would say it's heavy going, is it?
It is. I have to say, I again enjoyed it. It's such a strange word. Yeah. It is. We can talk about it next week if you like, because it's very good. People should watch it. It's a bit slow. As a thing, the actual story behind it is tragic, but I think they could have maybe addressed it a little bit easier to get a bit more out of it.
Fionnuala Rabbit, thank you so very much indeed. It's been lovely having you on the programme.
Thank you.
Michael Leddy,
nice
a pleasure to have you as
well.
We'll get to If next week. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening throughout the course of the week. We're back with you Monday morning from 9.